Unit 6. Exercise 7.
So, let's move on to the main reason for our meeting today. This risk assessment analysis you've both been working on. Jana, how do you want to proceed on this?
Well, I thought it would be interesting to hear from Fergus first, and then I can go on to set out some of the other risks we might be facing.
Fine. So, Fergus, how do things look from your point of view?
Generally good, but I did find clauses in the agreements that we should perhaps look at in more detail. I've prepared a printout of the relevant clauses, and I will try to keep things as straightforward as possible.
Well, I'm certainly grateful for that, Fergus.
Now, the first document I'd like to draw your attention to is the leasehold agreement for our offices here in London.
It's coming up for renewal soon, isn't it?
Exactly. As you can see from Clause 2.6, the lease is automatically extended by 5 years unless we specifically state in writing 12 months before the termination date that we don't want this.
But where's the problem?
I think it's Clause 5 that's the problem. You see, your rent for these premises has been rising steadily over the past 5 years in line with the Consumer Price Index, whereas typical rents for commercial and office space in this part of the city have been falling. Basically, you're probably paying about 10 to 15% too much at the moment. What's more, if this agreement is automatically extended, then Clause 5 will continue to apply for the next term of 5 years.
I see. So, what do you suggest we do?
Under no circumstances should you just allow the lease to be extended automatically. I suggest you state in writing as soon as possible that you waive your right under Clause 2.6, but that you wish to negotiate a new lease for these premises. This will give you the chance to renegotiate Clause 5 and thus save quite a lot of money. You are also holding an option on 200 square metres of office space on the second floor. Do you really need that space? I mean, you haven't needed it so far. If you renegotiate, you can get that clause removed.
Okay, that all makes sense. And the other things you noticed?
Well, I had a look at the redundancy proposals you sent, and I think it will be better to renegotiate the size of the compensation you're offering in case of redundancy. I mean, 3 months' salary for every year's service could be very expensive if you had to lay off 15 or 20 staff one day. I think, too, that any compensation proposal should specifically state that such a payment would be gross and subject to all the relevant deductions, social insurance, tax, etc.
So this 3 months thing isn't some statutory amount?
No, not at all. This is an entirely voluntary arrangement and one that is potentially disadvantageous to you.
Fine. I can ask the HR manager to get onto that. And you found one more thing, too, didn't you?
Yes, it's a clause agreed with Finwood, the Finnish timber processors you acquired at the end of last year.
But that whole acquisition has been a great success so far.
Absolutely. It's just that...
Maybe I could just come in here?
Sure, by all means.
You see, when we acquired Finwood, valuing the company was not at all easy. So we inserted this price adjustment clause. It's all about the company's liquidity, and essentially it means that we may have to pay a little extra at the beginning of next year.
How much?
It depends on some quite complex calculations, but it could be as high as 500,000 euros.
Are you suggesting that we challenge this agreement?
Not at all. The agreement is quite fair and reasonable. What I would recommend is that at the beginning of next year, when you decide on profit allocation in the company, you allocate an appropriate sum to the capital reserves in order to cover this risk.
Is that going to be possible, Jana?
Definitely. It's just going to mean less money going to the shareholders next year or being available for investment.
I can see that there's more to this risk management business than I realised. Before we discuss Jana's findings, why don't we take a short break and...